holidays? Any students coming back? Good stuff. Hope you guys had a good rest. All energized and ready for a busy semester. But it's exciting stuff. We had a great time in Zimbabwe. I want to say a very, very, very big thank you to all of you who've been praying for us, supporting us in whichever way. I know a lot of you donated financially, whether at the cake table or into the bank account, wherever it might have been. We really appreciate all of those donations. We appreciate your prayers probably even more than the finances. It was just incredible to see the way God is moving and the way God is working there. But I'm going to ask Bronwyn and Bridget to come up quickly. They're just quickly going to share something about Zimbabwe. And while they're coming up, I think we should go to Zimbabwe a bit more. As I was saying this morning, it seems like when we go away, the church grows. Came back and there were 3 new babies this week. So Zimbabwe is a fruitful place.
Good evening, everybody. I'm just here to share a bit about Zimbabwe, my experiences there. And there's just 3 things that really stood out for me. And the one thing is that how God just blesses you when you are doing His will or going His way or doing His work. It's just amazing the stuff that I saw that God just did for us. And then the other thing is that God will never send you to do something if it's not possible for you. He will never give you something on your path that you cannot do. That just really came, that's just the thing that I saw. Because he put me in a few situations, and when I was in a small group, and all those children's stories was according to stuff that happened in my life. So I could just talk to them and help them, stuff that God helped me with. So that was really cool for me. And then the third thing is just how God just waits for us to pray, because He knows all the answers, and He just wants us to go and ask Him. The power of prayer was just amazing over there. So yeah.
Hi everyone. Bronwyn stole everything that I wanted to say, so this is going to be short. 2 things stood out for me. Firstly, God is really a God of miracles, and if you pray to Him and ask Him for stuff for the glory of His name, then He really comes through for you. Like, there were so many times when stuff just wouldn't work out. Like the first night we were there, our sound equipment just wouldn't work at all, and we just prayed, and all of a sudden, bam, wow, it was cool. And then secondly, I don't know where the scripture is, but the one that says, if you lift my name high on earth, I'll draw all men to me. And I never really understood how that works until we went on this mission. And all the team did was praise and honor the name of God. And people's lives were changed and people were saved. And it was just really, really awesome. So, yeah.
Thanks, girls. It was sort of testified that said this morning, I've always known prayer is powerful, but you know it, but you don't quite know it. And coming back after Zimbabwe, I just know even more how powerful prayer is. Can I see, is there anyone here who was at intercession last week, Thursday evening church intercession? A couple of you guys. I don't know if you guys, did you pray for power for us and electricity and water? We've been without power. So the guys who are here this morning would know the story. We were without power in Zimbabwe. It's a normal thing in Harare. They've got rolling blackouts going on all the time because it's just, the country's just fallen to pulp in my wallet, which I don't have up here, but I'm still going to preach on it one day. I can't not say this. Everyone knows what I'm going to say now, but I have to. I have got a banknote for $100 trillion in my bank. It's worth a SMS to Annette just after someone gave it to me. I said, we're going to have the most kick-ass honeymoon ever. Someone just gave us $100 trillion for a honeymoon. And she replied, and she's like, there it is. She was like, whoa, that's so cool, you know, it's amazing. How much is it in Rand? And I replied, I think maybe almost a cent. And literally, it's not even worth 1 cent, South African cent. $100 trillion. But anyway, I don't know how I got on that. Anyway, the whole country's just fallen to pipe. And we've got load shedding going on all the time. And then one night we were there. We'd been without water as well for about a day and a half, and without water is fine for a bit, but just became uncomfortable. We couldn't wash dishes, we couldn't shower, we couldn't clean anything, couldn't make food, nothing, because there was no water. And so it was Thursday afternoon, and I clicked, hey, the church guys are about to start praying. So why don't you just send them an SMS and ask them? So I sent Heinrich an SMS, but about 10 to 6. I said, if you guys are praying for us at intercession, please just pray with some water and electricity. It would be really cool. We haven't had it in a while, and you know, a shower would be nice. I'm not joking. I checked my watch. I think it was just after 21 minutes or something. 20 past 6. Sent the SMS at 10 to 6 o'clock. You guys probably started speaking probably at about 4:15. I'm not sure how it worked. I'm guessing very close to 20 past 6. You started praying. 20 past 6. The lights went on. Water, electricity, all of a sudden, both of them, it's completely different reasons why they were off immediately. They just both came on. We said, thank God. We went and prayed. We came back and everyone had a nice shower. It was really cool. A couple of other times, just, is Hendrik here? I said, is he with his family? Hendrik had a couple of run-in with traffic cops. All over the place. Poor guy, like the youngest guy on the team, but every time when he's driving, the cops pull us over. So the first time, he and I were in deep discussion, and we honestly just didn't see, still in South Africa, we honestly just didn't see the sign. Almost like the Ace of Base lady. Anyway, so we were driving, and cop jumped up in front of us in the road, waved us over, and we realized, oops, and the cop comes up to us and says, excuse me, sir, you were going 104 in a 60 zone. You know, really just, we didn't see the sign. It was just one of these urban areas, but you don't even know it's an urban area. There are one or two little shacks on the side of the road. And he pulled us over, and Hendrik goes out. So the three of us are sitting in the back, I think with three people in the car, and we just start praying. We say, God, we just pray, and we ask for mercy. God, we know we've messed up. We should have been paying more attention. But anyway, so I walk out. Figure I can't leave the poor guy by himself. So I get out and I walk up to the guy, and the cop sitting next to his car, and he's got this big sheet out, and he's going, I'm thinking 104 in a 60 zone, it's probably not going to be very good. And I'm just praying that he didn't get arrested. Anyway, so they go down the list. And he goes, and he's like, starts at the top, and he goes down and down and down and down and down and down and down. And eventually he gets to the fine for 104 in a 60 zone. He says, sorry, sir, the fine is 1,200 rand. You know, it's not very nice. Anyway, so we don't quite know exactly what to say, but before we can say anything else, the other traffic, I come walking on, I'm hearing all of this, but I'm about a meter or two away, and the other traffic cop looks at me, and I've got this jacket that the university gave me, and it says, Tux Res, University of Pretoria, or something. And the guy looks at my jacket, and he goes, Tux, I'm not Tux. Are you students? And all of a sudden, he asks, are we students? And we say, I just be complete innocence. I say, I've got nothing to do with this. I'm not a student. I've just got a jacket. But he's a student, and he's paying the whole fine, and he doesn't have any money. And the guy says, okay, if you're a student, then he pulls out a different sheet. Apparently, you've got special dispensation as a student. So he pulls out the sheet, and he starts going, and he looks up at Hendrik, and he says, how much can you pay? And Hendrik is, I'm a student, I really can't pay much. He says, no, but how much can you pay? And he says, I really can't pay a lot. And the guy looks at him and says, you know, I'm going to give you a very strong verbal warning. So both of us, we're just so flabbergasted, we didn't know what to do, and we just try and keep our pose, and we get back in the car, and we close the door, and we just burst out laughing. And I know it's a simple thing, but it's just one of those things that just hit us again. The power that there is when we start praying. So we go through the border post, and it's Hendrik's turn to drive again, and we get through the border post, and there's a little traffic cop guy standing in the road, and he pulls us over, and we were the two vehicles, we were driving up in two vehicles, and we had our lights on, the back car had its lights on, so that we could see, if you just look in your rearview mirror, we can easily see if the other car's still there driving in the day. And the cop pulls us over, and the traffic officer comes to us, he says, Hendrik again, excuse me, sir, do you know it is an offense to drive with your lights on? So we were just, what on earth is going on here? And we start praying, and the guys in the back, he just start praying. And God was trying to solicit a bribe or whatever. And we just prayed and just lifted high the name of Jesus. And eventually the guy got a little bit frustrated because we were just playing very stupid and just saying, we just want to see the other car, and anyway, etc. And then he let us go. And on the way to Harare, we were meant to get stopped a couple of times, and We just drove a couple of hundred meters into the country, just past all the roadblocks and everything, pulled off on the side of the road. Just took 10 minutes and prayed. Just took 10 minutes and declared to the powers and the principalities why we were here, what we've come to do. Prayed for the road, got back in the car. And we were only stopped once more on the 600 kilometers to Aurora. It was literally just a stop. Can I see your license, please? Okay, here's your license. And you can carry on again. The Greyhound bus, the guys that came in the Greyhound bus, how many times were you stopped, Pastor Naila? The first time. They were stopped in the Greyhound bus, they were stopped 8 times. When the buses are behaved, their papers and everything should be in order because obviously they do it every week. So the cops stop them all the time. And it was just such a testimony to us about the power of prayer, about simple practical things like that. And on the way back, Henrik got stopped again. And, he didn't have some sticker that he was meant to have on the car, but no one else had the sticker. And they wanted a $40 bribe. Effectively, that's what it came down to. And once again, we just stopped and we prayed. And all of a sudden, the guy his heart just turned. He said to Henrik, okay, since you'd already had a strong verbal warning in South Africa, he said, this is like a slap in the face, so you know you must put the sticker on the front of the car. And we could just carry on driving. A simple, simple thing to us, but so powerful. I mean, I could keep us busy all night with these stories of how God answered prayers. At one stage, we didn't have any petrol left, and petrol at the moment is a bit of a problem in Harare because 19 million liters of fuel disappeared. We think maybe Robert Mugabe, but 19 million liters of fuel is gone. So kind of you can't really find fuel anywhere, and you drive all day just to find a place that's got fuel, and then there's about a two-hour queue normally to be able to get to the front, and when you get to the front, you hope there's still fuel left. And we didn't have fuel, which is a problem. So we came to the fuel filling station. They said, no, they don't have fuel. And they gave us a standard answer, 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, which everyone always apparently will have fuel 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. I don't know why that happens, but no one ever does, but they say they will. And as we drive out, Henrik and I clicked, but God's trying to teach us, if we just pray, He'll give it to us. So Henrik and I, just while we're driving, just pray and say, God, we really want petrol and we need diesel. Just lead us to the filling station that has petrol and that has diesel. Within 30 seconds to a minute later, I wasn't timing it, but within that time frame, we look up and a fuel truck comes driving past us in the opposite direction. And we look at it, and we look at each other, and we both click at the same time. That's the company of the filling station that's like 300 meters behind us. We just left. He looks at me and says, make a U-turn. We make a U-turn, and we pull in, and the truck drives in, and we pull in behind the truck, and it takes about 2 hours to empty the truck out because it's 30,000 liters of fuel. And we get the first 70, which is pretty cool. That was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The next morning, the pastor we'd been working with, he went to the same filling station and they didn't have fuel anymore. They were sold out already. And just over and over and over and over, God just showed us the power that there is in prayer. But I think I probably preach a whole sermon just on the power of prayer in some stages because it's just so real to us again. You can ask the guys on the mission for one. Maybe I can give you one more story. We wanted to go praying one night because we realized this prayer thing works and we want to go pray around Harare. And we've got this really cool GPS called Suzy, which is super impressive. If you guys ever want to buy a Garmin Nuvi, do it. You won't be disappointed. So we've got this GPS who kind of navigates us all over Harare. And I want to go pray. So kind of you go to kind of points of interest, government buildings. You want to go pray at all the important places. And there's this place called State House. So we think, hey, this will be pretty cool. Sounds like we're looking for Parliament. We can't find Parliament, but State House sounds like union buildings. Sounds quite important. Let's go pray there. 3 vehicles, because we picked up one in Aurora as well. We're on our way to State House, and Susie's being really nice, showing us exactly where to go. The next thing, out of the bushes, we just see the sign, first police ahead, and then stones and rocks and everything in the road. And the next thing, out of the bushes, just pop these army guys in kind of full uniform, ready for battle, AK-47, hand grenades everywhere. Alice, Stop. So I hop out and the team starts praying. Okay? No. We can't be here. We shouldn't be here. We're not allowed being here. We must go away immediately. And I say, where's Parliament? No, you can't go to Parliament. Not allowed. And later we find out you're not even allowed using your cell phone in the same block as Parliament. You're not allowed stopping near Parliament. They just arrest you immediately, which we didn't know that night. But anyway, so we're at State House. And I ask the guy and tell him what I want to do, et cetera, et cetera. And He tells me nicely that I should rather leave. And then we get in the cars, and as we start driving away, they start whistling and shouting and screaming. And I don't know if they're saying we must go, if we must stop anyway. So we keep driving and they keep whistling. So we decide, okay, they're obviously saying stop. So we stop and I hop out again. And I go, and all of a sudden there are five more guys, or however many arrived. And now they want to know what we're doing here. What do we want to do? And they've got radios and they're talking on their radios to people. And I'm on the way. Anyway, I can tell you a long story about the guys in the bus. I think we're praying, I hope. Because the next morning we found out from the locals. We told them what they wanted to do, and they drove with us in different vehicles, and they all told us the same story in different vehicles. And this is sort of how I know it's true, because there wasn't one guy who told us all. When they heard where we went and what they wanted to do, their eyes just stretched like this, because apparently the people at the security guards have orders, or the policemen there, to shoot on the spot without asking questions. But such a simple thing, which we take for granted. But I know it's the power of prayer. It's just amazing. The guy wanted to give me something. I'm a tourist, because I told him, I'm a tourist. I just want to see Harare and what it's like. And he said, okay, but then I'm a tourist and I must give him something. I said, no, I'd rather pray for him, whatever. He said, oh, you're Christian. You can go. All of a sudden, he didn't want to bribe or anything. But anyway, that has got absolutely nothing to do with my sermon. I wanted to speak a little bit. Galatians 5 verse 22 speaks about the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Let's pray before we start. Father God, we thank you this evening for the power of your word, Lord, which is alive inside of us. We invite you, Holy Spirit, come and minister to us. Come and change us. Come and inspire us. Come and build us. Come and shape us, God, for your glory, Jesus. Jesus, we ask that tonight, Lord God, your will and your purposes, God, will be established in our hearts and in our minds. And Holy Spirit, I declare just again my complete dependence upon you. Pray, Holy Spirit, that you will lead and guide my every word, Lord God, that, Lord, as we leave here, we may be transformed evermore into the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. Bible speaks here about some fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, which we all know pretty well, gets preached about a lot, and maybe one we don't speak about so often. I wanted to focus a little bit on that joy. The joy which Christ holds before every one of us, and it's interesting, Scripture says it's a fruit of the Spirit. An example we could join their small group from the church we were working with in Harare, and one evening they had this discussion as well, just about fruit. Difference between fruits and gifts. And I just remembered an example I heard ages ago. You know, if you take a peach tree and you plant a peach tree and you give that peach tree a bit of time, that peach tree doesn't have to try, that peach tree doesn't have to make an effort, that peach tree doesn't have to get into all these hard works to start carrying peaches. The fact that it's a peach tree implies that it will carry peaches. Its nature, its being, its identity determines that peaches will naturally flow out of it. It doesn't have to take hard work. It doesn't have to sit all day and think, fruit, 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 and then a fruit is going to come out. It's just part of who he is and part of what he does. And it's interesting that Scripture says here, the fruit of the Spirit. You and I, if we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, and if we're saved, we do. Not necessarily even the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but just the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. Scripture says that that will result in love, in joy, in peace, in long-suffering, in kindness, in goodness, in faithfulness, in gentleness, and maybe just as an added extra, in self-control. You have self-control. Some of you have never heard that before. If you're a Christian, by definition, because the Spirit is inside of you, you have self-control. It's a manifestation of the fact that the Holy Spirit is inside of you. But I want us this evening to take a little bit of time and focus on this joy word. Beautiful verse in Psalm 100. The whole psalm. It's a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. We're a pretty busy church. We place a lot of emphasis on establishing the kingdom of God, of making stuff happen, of doing things. But it's so important for us that we always remember that we're serving the Lord out of gladness. We're doing it because we want to do it. We do it because there's a joy inside of us, and we come into the house of the Lord and we sing and we shout and we get excited because the joy is a manifestation of the Spirit inside of us. No one has to force us to do the stuff. It's not, oh, I have to lead Sol again this week. Oh, Sunday's coming up, I've got to lead worship. God, please deliver me. Now, thank God that we're a church that I hope we don't pray those prayers. That there's something inside of us that aligns with what David says here, that we serve the Lord with gladness. We come into His presence with singing. We come into church with singing, but in the morning when we wake up and we just celebrate the joy of the Lord. We sing and we shout and we allow joy to come out of us. And while we're in Zimbabwe for the team, I've got a special photo up here. I completely forgot about this. I didn't think about it at all until I'd finished preparing. I was just about to print and I clicked, no, I'm missing a photo. Can we have the photo up there? Did you miss that? You can ask the team. Most of you probably don't know him. His name is Chad. Chad is not mad. Chad is sad. Chad has lost his dad. He was a bad dad. Maybe one day Chad will be glad. But we had a very deep, powerful sermon at the one church we visited, where the pastor spoke about Chad being sad. And I'm almost tempted to call Damien up here to give us a demonstration of sad Chad. But I'm not going to go there. You can ask a missions person to show you later. Good reason to go and speak to them. Just thought I'd throw them in for the guys who were there. The rest of you, you can wake up again. We'll carry on. Okay. Romans 14, verse 16 to 17 says, therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not about the stuff we have. It's not about the parties. It's not about material stuff. But it's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is defined as joy in the Holy Spirit. Having joy, living in joy, having joy flow out of us is all about the Holy Spirit. Psalm 122, David says, I was glad. There was joy inside of me when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There's joy in the kingdom of God. There should be joy in the house of the Lord. I remember when I was just a student, we'd so look forward, we'd plan our weeks around Sunday evening services. And I think many of you probably do as well. We'd have Bible school in the week and we'd have this and this, and inside of us, everything was, I can't wait for Sunday to come. I can't wait just to come into the presence of the Lord again. I can't wait, like David says, to go into the house of the Lord. There's this joy and expectation inside of me because I'm going to a special place. I'm going to a place where the presence of God resides, where His people are, where I'm going to sing and shout His praises. I'm going to fall on my knees. I'm going to worship Him. There's something special about the house of the Lord. There's a gladness that gets stirred inside of me. And I want to take a little bit of time this evening and just speak about joy. Just speak about some of the principles very loosely around joy. And I think the first thing that we need to mention is that joy doesn't come by itself. The joy that God's speaking about here, there's a difference between happiness and about joy. We were in a small group speaking about the gifts. And there was a guy in our cell. There was a lady in our cell. And she had this big mushroom on her head. Her hair was like a big, big mushroom thing. And then she walks in and she introduced herself. And her name was Fungi. And I just couldn't. It was just one of those really classic guys. Fungi who looks like a mushroom. Anyway, so there was another guy, Francis, in the small group we were at. But I suppose him being there makes it a not so small group. But anyway, I can't begin to describe the magnitude of this man. It's almost unfathomable. The team thought I was making a joke when I came back and I told them about this guy, but he was really big. He's not a small type of guy. He's a large man. He doesn't fit into normal clothing. And we were talking there about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and happiness and joy, because happiness comes from events. Happiness comes from things. Happiness is based upon our circumstances, but joy is independent of our circumstances. Joy transcends our circumstances. We get happy sometimes when we bungee jump, or we're happy when we do well in a test. But joy is something that is just with us always inside of us and flows out of us. And we were asking, the self-facilitator was just asking random people, what makes you happy? And Francis was sort of just sitting a little bit to my left, this not-so-small guy. And what makes him happy? Food. Coming from anybody else, it wouldn't have been half as funny. But coming from this guy, it was an interesting small group that night with fungi. And there was another guy called Buy One. I wondered if he had a twin brother, because maybe his parents bought one and got one free. But they had interesting names there. Joy is independent of our circumstances. Joy is a state of our being. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit that flows out of us, and at all times it's within us. But joy, Scripture shows us in Matthew chapter 25, we're going to read quite a large piece of Scripture, because I think it shows us a powerful element and a key into accessing the joy that God has stored up for us. For the kingdom of heaven, I'm reading from verse 14, is like a man traveling to a far country. He called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with him and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with him. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. We'll carry on reading now, but I just want us to pause here and see. There's a gate control. There's a security guard with access control as to who can enter into the joy that God has prepared for us and who can't. And what the Scripture shows so clearly is one of the ways that we enter into the joy of the Lord is by being faithful in what He has given us. Where He has given us, we'll see now 5 talents or 2 talents or 1 talent. And please, those talents, don't speak about talents as we speak about in English normally today, as in talented to play cricket or talented to sing or talented to dance, talented to write. This talent specific refers to money, resources, things that God places in your hands. And I suppose they could include talents as we understand them. But the scriptural reference here, specifically to money, to material possessions that God gives to us. And one of the pastors at a prayer meeting in Zimbabwe just illustrated so beautifully, their church is doing some amazing things. One of the things they've just done is they're busy planting a church at the same time starting up a business in Mozambique. It's called Eggs for Africa. And they just eggs and eggs and eggs and eggs churning out. They've got a couple of 1,000 chickens churning out eggs. And the illustration, as he said, they've got the eggs going now. The biggest cost in egg production is grain. Food for the eggs. Not for the chickens. Eggs don't eat it. Food for the chickens. The biggest cost in feed, in producing feed, is fertilizer. To grow the crops, to make feed, which the chickens can eat, so chickens can live and lay eggs. And you can sell the eggs and make money. And now their business plan is just so clever, and I don't know why everyone doesn't do it. And they've got so much space and resources available. So what they're doing now, and kind of the cycle is just beginning because they started a couple of months ago, is they've got these eggs that are laying chickens, these chickens which are laying eggs, and the eggs are bringing in finances, which they're selling the eggs in the community. They've just got this whole community development program. But surprisingly, Eggs defecate as well. Eggs have excrement, manure. Eggs, chickens. Chickens defecate, not eggs. I can hear it actually. Before the end of tonight, I'm going to know the difference between eggs and chickens. Okay. Chickens defecate. Chickens create manure, which is the biggest cost to producing feed, which is the biggest cost to feeding chickens, which lay eggs, which get sold for profit. So as one of the workers clicked, and he says, so we're going to take poo and make profit. But something that's such a powerful principle, and I so love just that little bit that pastor shared just in a prayer meeting, just as sort of as an aside, he shared it, is that so often we come and we think that faith leads to productivity. That we can just come and we can get the eggs and pray and pray and chickens and pray and pray and pray and pray. And then they're going to lay eggs and we're going to be productive. But there's such an important element which many people neglect, and that is faith with faithfulness is productiveness. We're not going to be productive without the faithfulness. And we see exactly that same principle in the scripture here, that Jesus says to this man who's been faithful, the man who's been diligent, this man who hasn't taken for granted and taken lightly the commandment and the things that God has given him. He's been serious about it. And he is allowed to enter into the joy of the Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back with my own interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Cost unprofitable. If you want to, you can read the unfaithful servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's so important for us to understand that an element in entering into the joy of the Lord is to be faithful into what He has entrusted to us. So I love what Bronwyn said, that it was just so fun doing what God called us to do. It's amazing how He blesses us, how much joy we receive in our innermost being when we just simply say, yes, Lord, to whatever He asks of us. When we lay down our own desires and our own dreams and the things we think are important to us, and we start saying yes to what God says is important, our hearts become alive and begin to jump out, and joy just begins to flow out of us. I love what it says here. Well, we're in John chapter 16. Jesus speaking, and he says, most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful. But your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day, you will ask me nothing, the power of prayer again. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give you. Then watch this, I love this. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive. Why? That your joy may be full. God wants our joy to be full. God loves it when His children are joyful. God loves it when that thing inside of us is completed and there's a joy and a bubbliness inside of His children. I think God loves looking down at us and seeing us laugh and just enjoying life. Getting up and laughing and making jokes and having fun. Having joy inside of us. God has a heart for your joy. Maybe you never heard that before. God wants you to be joyful. God sits in heaven and He says, ask whatever you want. I want to give it to you because I want you to be so joyful on the inside. I want your hearts to rejoice, as the scripture says. You will have sorrow, but I will turn your sorrow into joy, and that joy no one is going to take away from you. Because God says it's something that I'm going to plant inside of you and will be there for eternity. Something else about our joy, Nehemiah chapter 8. Just to give a little bit of background here, what's happened, the people of God have forgotten the word. They've sort of haven't been reading the word. They've neglected it completely. And Nehemiah gets up and he starts a Bible school. And he says, guys, I found this cool book. I think we should read it. And it's the book of God, and it's got God's teachings in it. And on Tuesday nights from 6:30 to 9 o'clock, we're going to come together and we're going to read it. We're going to see what God has before us. I want to encourage you, if you haven't done Bible school yet, you want to do it. Come. Even if it's just the first week or the first 2 weeks, just come and sit in and see what the lessons are about. I'm convinced that if you come once or twice, you'll really want to come back again. I know it's not always practical, and if the practicalities are in the way, please take the freedom to speak to Anita. Maybe we can work a plan, especially if it's only once or twice that you can't make it. But please come. If you're planning on doing Bible school, please don't wait until after the 3 weeks and then come. The 3 weeks or the 3 weeks, you can decide which you prefer. Okay? But those first 3 weeks, which are open sessions, anyone is welcome to come. But the lectures start the first week already. So the exams and what you're going to write the exam on at the end of the year, that starts in the first week. So don't miss the first 3 weeks because they're open sessions. But they're open sessions so you can bring friends and they can come and see what Bible school is about. Because we really believe you must be equipped with the Word of God. So these guys find the Word of God and they start reading them. And then they say, Nehemiah said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet. Send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy, do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions and rejoice greatly, because they understood the words that were declared to them. And right in the midst of this becoming familiar in a good sense with the Word of God, not becoming familiar in casual, but becoming familiar as in getting to know the Word of God again, Nehemiah says, and he says, guys, we know you feel down, you feel cut to the heart because you've been missing the purposes of God, but don't worry. The joy of the Lord, that joy that rises up inside of you, that'll be your strength. That's what makes you strong and lifts you high up where the prince in Scripture says. Carries you where others can't because there's a joy and an excitement inside of yours. Psalm 30 gives us a purpose to this joy. It's not just joy for the sake of joy. There's a purpose as to why we have joy. You have turned for me, a beautiful song we sing from time to time. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. There's something inside of us begins to happen when the joy rises up. And Scripture says that when we are joyful, why? To the end that my glory, my joy may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Something inside of us happens when we enter into this joy and we just want to explode in praise to God. And we want to say how great He is and how glorious He is. And the world looks at us and they look at these people who are bubbly and shining and mad. But inside of them, they say, He has something that I want. She's got the thing that I've been wanting. I love what one of the girls in the missions team said. She's been serving God her whole life. She started coming to church and she met some people inside of her. Something exploded and she just said, I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. I knew there were people like that. I didn't know where they were, I didn't know how, but I just knew it existed. And God opened her eyes and she could see people who had that which she'd been longing for her whole life. That joy bubbling out of her. She came to repentance, turned her heart towards God, and now she's one of those people. Now she's got that joy just bubbling up all out of her and she just can't put a cork in it, she can't keep it down and she shouldn't have to either. It's just so amazing to see what happens when we allow God to work His joy inside of us. And the glory it brings to His name. And then, the last point, a couple of scriptures about this. The source of our joy. Where does this joy come from? Yes, the joy comes from God, but specifically in Psalm 51 it says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me by your generous spirit." I love that second part. God's spirit is generous. He's not stingy. He doesn't hold back. He's not, "Okay, I'm going to give you a little bit today and maybe tomorrow I'll give you..." He's like, "How much do you want? You want the whole cake? Yeah, have it. What is it that you want? I'm generous. I'm going to give you. What do you want? Let me just open my wallet. I'll give you $100 trillion. Whatever you want. What do you need?" He's a generous spirit. And then David prays this thing and he realizes at one stage he's a little bit down. David was a bit of a bipolar, depressive kind of guy if you read the Psalms. And in the midst of it he says here, "God, I've lost my joy. But God, I understand that my joy doesn't have the source in myself. My joy doesn't come from..." It's not really my joy, God. It's the joy of your salvation. It's the joy, God, of the fact that you have saved me, that you've turned my life around. And now I realize, as we sang, God, that you've turned me from darkness to marvelous light, God. God, I can't help but be happy. I don't have another choice. Habakkuk 3. One of the few songs that I remember from the church I grew up in, that I really enjoyed this song, and when I was thinking about it today, it's because the song actually speaks of joy, and it sounds joyful. Something inside of you just wants to make you shout unto God when you sing it. He says, "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no fruit." God, it's going bad. You don't have brooks here. They've stolen my farm. I don't know what's going on. We had the pastor, John Wayne. He's one of the funniest guys I've met in my life. And he's got a little twin guy called Shepherd. And these two guys do everything together, have been together since primary school. And the one guy's a pastor. I don't quite know what the other guy does, but he's a pastor's appy. And I don't think he's on staff, but they just do everything together. And the last night, they just came and hung out with us. And we just sat there telling jokes all night long. And Shepherd is I think he's a Shona guy. And John Wayne is a colored guy. And they were speaking about one guy in the church. I think his name's Wade or something. And they were trying to figure out, is the guy colored? They were having sort of a disagreement as to whether he's colored or white. Not that it matters. But anyway, they were having this disagreement. And John Wayne just got this revelation. And he looks at Shepherd and he says, "He's a black man. They took his farm. He's a black man. Full stop," he says. "No questions about it. How do we know if he's a black man or a white man? Well, they took his farm, so he must be a white man." Sorry? Did I say black man? You never start with a good duel. Black, white. Black and white is the same in God anyway. Chicken, egg, black, white, what's the difference? Okay. "He's a white guy. They took his farm, he must be a white guy. Full stop," he says. You know, that just settles the argument. "But you know, they've taken my farm, God, it's not going well. So the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls. There may be no farm left because there's a war veteran living on it. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk on..." Not high heels, lady, but high heels. And then I love how this passage ends. I've never noticed before today. He's writing to the chief musician with my stringed instrument. It's a song that he's singing. It's not just another word that he's saying. It's not just something that he's writing down. It's a song bubbling out from his heart. Praise Africa, the Rhema band. He used to sing a song a while ago. "There's a song all the time stirring in this heart of mine. And to you, Lord divine, songs of exaltation." It's just such a beautiful principle that every one of us as Christians have as our birthright. A joy that's meant to be bubbling up inside of us. Not meant to be the sad Chad walking around with a long lip hanging over the wall. But joy in the Holy Spirit, which is part of the kingdom of God. Isaiah chapter 12, very short chapter, but just got three verses of this short chapter here. And Isaiah says, "And in that day you also, I don't know where my wording has gone. See, this is what happens when you get sent, not sent, I wanted to go, but as well, to Zimbabwe for 2 weeks. come back late Friday night, you preach Sunday morning, Foundation 2 Sunday afternoon, and you preach Sunday evening again, and then you go 6 o'clock in the morning, you have to get on the aeroplane again. Your words get lost somewhere on the border post. In that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were hungry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. There's something that happens when we enter into the salvation of God, but there's a similar thing that happens when we begin to embrace God's purpose of salvation for the people around us. We begin with joy to drink water from the wells of salvation. We begin with joy, with a smile, with gladness in our heart. It's always the biggest challenge to me once you've been in a mission, whether it's in India, Nigeria, Zimbabwe, wherever it is. And for 2 weeks, your entire life is focused on one thing, two things. Actually the same thing, but two things. Glorifying God and leading souls to salvation. And then we come back to normal life. And I remember after, we used to do these long 6 week tours, and I remember after the people coming to me and saying, Philip, it's such a challenge because all of a sudden, nothing seems important anymore. Everything that I used to think was important in context of what I now know about God's power to save and His amazing ability to save lives and to turn lives around, all of a sudden, there's a disconnect here. Because I've experienced something about the purposes of God, of salvation for people, salvation for mankind, salvation for souls. Souls turning to Jesus and just light coming on. It was so great just to see some of the team members for the first time being able to actually lead someone to Christ. For the first time to have somebody sitting in front of them and they pray a prayer with them and that person's life gets changed right there and then that person comes to salvation. And then the person gets filled with the Holy Spirit. Then that person starts praying in the Spirit, speaking in other tongues, and you can see their countenance change. You can see their face light up. You can see life entering in there. And then you come back and you've got to study again. You've got to sit at your books. You've got to go do that project in front of the computer. And all of that stuff is important. But all of a sudden, that stuff is placed in context of the joy that there is in salvation. The joy that there is when Scripture says when we come, blessed are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim the glad tidings of peace. Blessed are the feet of them on the mountains. There's a joy that accompanies them. The wells of salvation. 1 Peter 1 says a similar principle. It speaks about us not having seen Jesus, but still we love Him. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Your joy is full of glory. Your joy is inexpressible. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. The reason we have faith, and it's so important for us as individuals, just regularly to take time out, to close the door. And that's why I so love many of the songs we sing do this. And we close the door and we get on our knees again, or we just say thank you to God for saving us. Lord, I was in that mess, caught in sexual immorality and pornography and alcohol addiction, just throwing my life away, just wasting it. But Jesus, you came and you saved me, God. You've turned me from darkness into marvelous light, God. And just that, God, makes me glad enough. There's so much more, God, why I can be glad. But the fact, God, that you have saved me, you've turned my life around from the mess I was in to where I am now. And everything isn't perfect now, but it doesn't matter, God, because I know I have you. There's a joy inside of me, God, that you have given me. The salvation of my soul. Joy inexpressible, full of glory. Receiving the end of our faith, the salvation of your souls. If you can stand with us and the band come up. And while we're standing, didn't quite know how to work it in, but it's important. I just want to put it out there so we all know. I'm excited for this next semester. And I'm trusting God that it's going to be a semester filled with joy. There's going to be joy jumping up and out of us. And more than anything, I'm praying for all of us that at the end of the semester, when it comes to November and December, we're going to be able to stand before God and God's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Yes, there's going to be the joy of knowing Him, but there's going to be a joy of having fulfilled the work for which He has called us. There's going to be a joy of us standing here knowing that we can't only have one service on a Sunday evening because the venue is too small for the amount of people. We're going to have two or three services just to accommodate all the people. Because there's a joy that comes with entering into salvation. And so I've just made a short list of some of the things we're going to be doing this semester so you can start praying for it. So you can start getting excited. So you can start becoming part of what God is doing amongst us. Bible school starts, for those of you who haven't done it, Tuesday evening, we're starting with Bible school. Then all of the students, we are going to have a camp on the 31st of July to the 1st of August. The one at the beginning of the year was more aimed at leadership. This one is just going to be aimed, I don't know at what yet, but it's not going to be as leadership focused, more of a discipleship camp. Everyone can come, all students, even if you're not a student, if you want to come, you're welcome to come, but specifically going to be focused, and we're going to pray a bit about campuses, discuss a little bit of strategy. We're not going to do self-facilitated training and all that stuff again. 31st of July to the 1st of August. So you can bookmark that. For those of you that are in relationship or trusting God to be in a relationship or want to be in a relationship or praying about being in relationships, want to get married, we're going to have a great relationship week at Osterhof from the week of the 24th to the 30th. So we'll start there, we'll have three or four nights at Osterhof, and then Sunday evening we'll have a service here as well, just speaking about biblical foundations for relationships. And you know, it's an incredible investment into all of our lives, but if ever there's an excuse to bring an unbeliever to church, here it is. We've got Spring Day on the 9th of September, I hope you guys have been praying for that, that's going to rock. We're going to go big this year, I hope you guys have been praying for it. Start praying if you haven't been. Become part of it. I'll be sending out emails again when we get back from Cape Town. We're going to be presenting Legacy Foundation 3 seminars in Johannesburg pretty soon. Billy, when is that? Where's Billy? I think in 2 weeks' time, we're going to Johannesburg with the team. If you want to be part of that, send Billy an email. Then we're going to go to Standerton. We're going to go to East London. We're going to be sending out these small teams just presenting Legacy seminars because there's so many people who want to enter into that place of receiving the healing of God. We'll probably send a couple of Foundation 4 Liberty teams as well. Then towards the end of the year, November, December, and for the medical students, we're still planning because you guys have got a month extra holiday. We want to do something special with all of you guys. But we want to send missions teams in December to Barkly East and to Standerton and to East London and Bloemfontein and maybe even to Mozambique and Zimbabwe again, depending on where God would lead us. This is just a couple of things somewhere in between this. I'm getting married as well. And that weekend we'll have it'll be the 9th of August. Don't think there's anything happening there. That Sunday will probably be an outreach service because kind of all of the shofar pastors are up in Pretoria that weekend, so they'll be preaching all over the place. We'll have an outreach service again, which gives you an excuse to invite somebody because Sias or Andre or Lucille or Fred or somebody will be preaching here the evening, that Sunday evening and the Sunday morning. But I really want all of us to make a quality decision to say, God, I want to enter into your joy, God. God, I'm going to live your joy and I'm going to let your joy bubble out of me. The joy that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But I also want to enter into the joy dimension when you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. There's a lot of stuff going on and then for one moment expect everybody to be involved with everything. But get involved in something. Do something where it's going on a mission. You can ask anyone, if you ask them, I'm willing to go on a limb. I haven't spoken to any of them. What is the best holiday of their life? I think pretty much 17 out of the 18 people. I'm just leaving space maybe for one person who didn't enjoy it so much. Don't know who it was. But anyway, 17 out of the 18 will probably say these past 2 weeks in Harare was the best holiday of their life. Because there's a fulfillment that happens that lying on the beach will never give you. And by all means, lie on the beach from time to time. That's also healthy. I'm not saying never do that. But there's something that happens inside of us when we embrace the purposes of God and we say, yes, God, I'm going to serve you with gladness. Can we have that very first verse up again? The one we started with. And then we're going to pray for some people and just carry on worshiping God. No, the second one, I lie. The Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing and know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. We sang that tonight. And into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. If you're looking for a psalm to memorize, that's the whole psalm. It's a short psalm. Pastor Fred wrote a beautiful song on it as well, if you can get a hold of the old Shofar CD. I actually think it's the first song on the CD, if I remember correctly. But I want to challenge all of us and encourage us. Let's make this semester, it's a semester of serving the Lord with gladness. And just on that point, I actually wrote it down, I wanted to do it right at the beginning. I just want to thank all the technical guys this evening and the last couple of weeks. The sound guys, the setup guys, the baby room guys, just everyone. We go out, there are lights all over the place, there's coffee and tea. People have been working hard to just make all of it look good and work. And these bins, by the way, these bins are going to be here every week. And they're meant to be orange and bright. And if we could, we'd put luminous lights inside of them. There must be, in a sense, an eyesore. Because it's so easy to go through life and just to choose to look away from poverty and people who are struggling. But we sort of want to make a thing that every time we come to church, we are reminded of the blessings that God has given us. And even more, there's an opportunity for us to do something about it. So whatever you put in these bins, Donnie is going to make plan with to get it to the people who need it the most. To reach the people that Jesus would want us to reach with blankets or tinned food. From time to time, we'll ask for special requests. But I'll be here every week. So feel free to every week bring stuff. Let's not just wait for a Thanksgiving service once every 3 months. Whenever you have a chance, bring it. Bring alms for the glory of God. That we may spread joy to people who really have no reason to be happy. Amen. So Father God, I thank you God for every one of these precious souls, God. God, I thank you Lord that you've brought them here because you have a purpose for them, God. Not one person is here by accident, Lord. Not one person, God, is here just because they happen to be here tonight. God, they are here because you have purpose for them to be here, Lord God. In this church tonight, but even more on earth, God. Doing what they're doing, serving where they're serving. Meeting the people that they're meeting, Lord God. And Jesus, tonight we come before you, God. And we thank you, God, for the joy of your salvation, Lord. Jesus, we thank you for the cross where you chose to die. So that we can have life and life in abundance. Lord, we celebrate that. As we sang at the baptism this morning, we will never know how much it cost to see our sin upon that cross. But Jesus, thank you, God. And while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I want to ask, maybe there's somebody here and you've never come to that place of salvation. You say, what does that mean, Philip? What is it? Well, very simply, it's that place where we acknowledge that we are sinful before God. And we're meant to be punished for our sin. But Jesus on the cross took our punishment for us so that we don't even have to pay one drop of blood. We're meant to die, but He has given us life and life in abundance freely as a gift. We can't earn it, but we have to accept it. And how does it work? Well, Scripture simply says in Romans 10, as we sang tonight, we call on the name of the Lord Jesus. We ask Him to save us. Because with our heart we believe unto righteousness, and very importantly, with our mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And the Bible says when we do that, when we come to that place where we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth, it's like we get born again. It's what the team saw sitting in the small groups praying with us children at the children's homes and the orphanages and the schools and the boys' homes and everywhere we went. And it's as if life begins to flow into the inside. And a new life starts. So I want to ask, if you're here this evening and you've never had that experience, you've never come to salvation in Jesus Christ, or maybe you have and you've backslidden and your relationship with Jesus isn't what it should be, then while everybody's eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, just between you and God, wherever you are, just we'd love to pray with you. Just put up your hand and say, Philip, that's me. Please pray for me tonight. I need to sort my life out with Jesus. I want to have this joy inexpressible flowing out of me. Thank you for those hands. If you put your hands up, you can put it down again. I'm going to extend this a little bit because I know God's working in many hearts. And inside of you, it's like there's a struggle going on. The Scripture calls it the struggle between life and death. And the amazing thing is you have the ability to choose. You can choose the way of life, or you can choose the way in which you've always been. So I'm going to ask one more time. If you put your hand up, you don't need to do it again. If you'd like us to pray with you this evening, we can't save you, we can't give you joy, but we can introduce you to the Savior who can. Then wherever you are, just raise your hand and say, that's me. Philip, please pray for me. I need to come to Jesus. Put your hand up high and say, I'm not ashamed. I'm calling on Jesus because I want joy in my heart. To anybody else, just put your hand up high. Then I'm going to ask all of those, thank you for those hands. All of you, put your hands up. I'd love to pray with you. You can put your hand down and just quickly come and stand right in front here. I want to pray with you. We want to celebrate this event with you. You can just come out right here. We're going to pray with you. If there's someone standing in the aisle in your way, amen. Amen. There's some more people who put their hands up. If you want to come forward and there's someone in your way, just say, excuse me. Sorry, you're in my way. I need to go get a life. I need to go to heaven. I want joy. And I want to encourage you, don't just stand where you're standing. I know many of you put your hands up. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not. We want to celebrate it with you. So maybe you put your hand up and you're not in the front yet. You're a little bit too embarrassed. I want to encourage you to come. Or alternatively, you didn't even quite have the courage to put your hand up, but you so just want to cry out to Jesus. I want to invite you, come forward. We'll wait for you if there's anybody else. You say, why must I come now? Why not later? Why can't I do this at home? Simply it comes down to simple analogy. If the Queen of England grants you an audience, a time when you can speak to her, you didn't say, no, sorry, ma'am, I can't quite come now. How about in half an hour's time? Or don't find now, I'll speak to you a little bit later. Her position demands respect that we respond when she speaks. How much more when God Himself is working in our hearts and He's calling us? Respond when He speaks and respond immediately. Get into the habit of being obedient and doing it when He speaks. And not compromising on the will of God. So I'm going to ask one last time, if there's anybody else, if God's speaking to you, we'll wait for you. It's not a shame, we want to celebrate with you. If there's anyone else, you can come forward and we're going to pray with these special people. We'll wait for you if there's anyone else who wants to come. So we're just going to pray a very simple prayer. All we're going to do is we're going to ask God to save us. We're just going to say, Jesus, I surrender my life to you because I know I'm a sinner. Will you save me? Is that okay? Can we pray that prayer? You can just repeat very softly after me. And I'm going to ask all of you just to pray with us. Lord Jesus, I thank you for tonight. Because I know tonight my life has changed. I can never be the same again. And I never want to be the same again. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I've done many things wrong. But right now, I ask that you save me. I know you are the Son of God. That you died in my place. But you rose again. and you are still alive. And so Jesus, I give my life to you. And I pray, Lord, that you will cause joy inexpressible to flow up from the inside of me. Turn my life around for your purpose and for your glory. Thank you that I'm your child, that you will never leave me. You will never forsake me. You are with me always. And thank you, Lord, that I know that I am saved by the grace of God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's give them a hand. You know, we're so excited with you. Scripture says that, you know, we don't know quite what happens in heaven when we make lots of music and the drums are going and everyone's dancing and we're worshiping God. We don't know what's going on in heaven when that happens. But Scripture does say that when one sinner comes to salvation, the angels up in heaven are rejoicing and dancing, and our hearts are rejoicing and dancing with them right now for the work God's doing in your life. So I want to ask three favors of you. Three things to remember. The first one, we've got small groups that meet on Wednesday evenings. You're going to go with somebody now, they're quickly going to pray with you. But I want to encourage you, please come to that small group if you can. If you really can't, then that's fine. But you can need people around you to encourage you, to walk with you, to pray with you. And at that small group, that's going to happen. And secondly, the 2nd of August, we've got a seminar. It's called the Perspective Seminar. I want to invite you to please come to that seminar. Okay, they'll give you more information about that. So it's small groups, Perspective Seminar. And then the third one, the first three people you see tomorrow morning, tell them about the decision you made tonight. Can you do that? Small groups, Perspective, and three people. Amen? I'm going to ask you to go with these people. They're going to pray with you. Maybe you've got some specific prayer requests, specific needs. They're just going to spend a bit of time talking to you. Okay, if you want 2 minutes, it'll be 2 minutes. If you want 15 or 20 minutes, it'll be 15 or 20 minutes. You can decide. Okay, if you just go with them, we've got a room prepared for you next door. Amen. Let's give them a hand as they go. And then we're going to sing some more praise songs, if that's okay. Just allow God to release joy inside of us. And if God's been speaking to you tonight, maybe you're here and you know Jesus, but you're just so down. You struggle to have joy. It's a battle for you sometimes just to put a smile on your face. We don't ask you to come forward. We want to pray with you. We want to trust God to break that. Because Scripture said He's given us a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Isaiah chapter 61. And we want to pray with you that God will give you the garment of praise. That you can just sing a song unto God. That you can just throw off that heaviness and the darkness. And like the psalmist, you can just begin to praise and say, I will give thanks to Lord forever. Forever and ever, God. I just want to sing to you and sing praises to you. I will glorify my God. Maybe you have some other prayer requests, whatever it might be. Maybe you haven't been filled with the Spirit, you know what it is, but you just haven't, never had the opportunity to have someone pray with you. Welcome to come forward. We want to pray with you. Whatever prayer requests you might have, please come forward. We trust God and we know that the God we serve is mighty and He is able. Whatever your need, He is able to answer those prayers. So Father God, we thank you for time well spent, Lord God. God, we thank you for the joy in the salvation of Jesus Christ. And God, I just bless everyone in this week, God, with an added measure of joy, Lord. Lord, that there will be a spring in their step as they wake up until they go to bed at night, Lord God. There will be a joy just rising up, Lord God. And Lord, it will be an addictive joy, Lord God. People will come up to them and say, what's wrong with you? What's going on? You're laughing and you're smiling and you shouldn't be. And we will simply be able to say that my God, my Savior has ransomed. Jesus Christ has placed joy in my heart, which I cannot deny. There's a song that just wants to burst out of me. Father, we pray your blessing over them in this week and everything we do, that your name may be glorified. Amen. If you're visiting, please join us for coffee and tea. If you want to find out about a small group, you can ask at the table. Otherwise, we'll see you back here again next Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, and Sunday evening, 6 o'clock for the English service. God bless you guys. Thanks, Allah and the band.